With a report of child abuse every 10 seconds, parents need help now more than ever in raising their children successfully. The Children's Bureau is a nonprofit organization that's been around 115 years with a mission to protect vulnerable children through prevention, treatment, and advocacy. You're listening to Collage, a public affairs show on jazz885.org. I'm Dawn Camber. Our guests are Children's Bureau President and CEO Ron Brown, Bureau Mental Health Director Susan Wood, and Bureau Summer Soiree Committee Member Cindy Carter. Well, Ron, please give us an overview of the Children's Bureau and the services it provides.
Thank you, Dawn. Children's Bureau, as you mentioned, has been around for 115 years, providing services to both Los Angeles and Orange County. This last year, we served over 40,000 children and families by providing mental health services to children and families, providing services to families through parent education, running family resource centers, serving kids in the foster care system, finding adoptions for kids in the foster care system, as well as a number of other strengthening families programs.
Now, give us the reality of the child abuse situation.
Well, you started out with that, Dawn. You said a child abuse report is made every 10 seconds in the United States. In the state of California, it's every 1 minute. In the United States, five children die every day from child maltreatment. That's the impact, and that's the importance of the work that we're doing, and that's what children face in families that need help and assistance.
Well, identify child abuse.
Child abuse is any time a parent maltreats their children, either physically, emotionally, or through neglect, meaning they're ignoring the child's needs for health services, their child's needs for education, their child's health needs for treatment in any way, shape, or form. That's again, physical abuse, spanking with intent to leave a mark or harm. It's a fairly broad topic, and certainly one that is debatable in many circumstances and in particular many cultures.
And Susan, explain what is behind child abuse. What's the mental aspect of this?
So child abuse creates long-term impact on children. Not only do they suffer at the moment when they're receiving either physical or verbal or emotional abuse, but it carries on in the and that trauma carries on throughout their childhood. So the more we can do to prevent it or get it early on and provide that treatment through mental health, the more likelihood that child is going to be able to have a healthy, successful childhood.
And what kinds of treatment are you talking about?
So our mental health services really range a wide range of services from children who are just starting to experience some mental health symptoms to children who have severe emotional disturbances. We offer a lot of trauma-based services to really address the trauma and help the child process it so they can get past that traumatic event. We do a lot of parenting with families because, again, if you don't work with the parents, the problem will continue. So we do a lot of parental support with parents to really provide that educational piece so they know how to handle children's difficult behaviors.
Give us some examples of trauma-based services.
So we have a wonderful evidence-based practice that's throughout the state called trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy. And what this does is it really helps children take the trauma they've experienced and put their feelings into thoughts and help the family connect their feelings to their thoughts and their behaviors. Then we help the child process this trauma through a written narrative. So it may sound contraindicated to say, oh, you want them to talk about it more, but by helping them talk about it, it actually helps them understand that, one, they weren't at fault, and two, that they have some control over how they can behave and how they can experience what happened to them.
And is it in a way that if they can put it through thoughts, then eventually it can kind of go away and not linger with them for the rest of their lives?
Yes, correct. If they can actually process this trauma and learn healthy coping skills for when it does pop back up in their life again and again, then it'll help minimize the likelihood that it'll impact them, you know, long term.
And explain, with many adults who experience child abuse when they were young, how it impacts their lives.
Yeah, so for adults, it's really tough because if they didn't get the treatment early on, it just continues to become more and more complex. And the moment someone experiences multiple traumas, the trauma becomes even more and more difficult to really, you know, manage. And a lot of times parents experience severe trauma, and then what happens is they end up exhibiting, you know, putting that same traumatic events onto their children. So we're really, really trying to catch it early on with children, and so that it doesn't continue the cycle of violence and abuse that we've been seeing in our society.
And of course, to put on programs, you need to raise money, and that's what Cindy Carter's here for. She is the committee member of the Summer Soiree, which is going to occur on June 8th. Explain.
Well, the Summer Soiree is where our financial donors can really help us out. It's a yearly event. We host it at the Oak Creek Golf Club in Irvine. It's coming up on Saturday, June 8th. Our VIP reception starts at 5:30 p.m. and the event goes from 6:30 to 10. It's a great way to kick off the summer, to get involved and to raise awareness and need and funds to fulfill the needs for Children's Bureau to support those at-risk families. They sell VIP tickets to give you early access to the event. They have wine and cheese tasting at the VIP area, and guests are greeted with a signature cocktail. They mingle while bidding on silent auction items, from electronics, theme park experiences, you name it. There's everything there. Cocktail hour is then followed by two fun games that they do, a 52-card game and heads and tails. They have a delicious dinner, dancing under the stars to a live band. So it's a great event to get involved from a financial perspective, which is a big deal for Children's Bureau because they need those funds in order to support these families that they're serving.
And how can people get tickets?
They can go, the best, easiest way to get tickets is to go on to their website, which is www.allforkids.org. That's all the number four, kids.org/soiree, S-O-I-R-E-E. That's the easiest, quickest way to get tickets, and, or you can give them a call.
And who goes to this event?
Well, really, really, we try to get anyone to come to the event, but we do have sponsors that come to the event. We have community members that support Children's Bureau and their mission that come to the event. There are several volunteers that come to the event that have been involved since the beginning that wind up just attending after they volunteered. So. Again, anyone is able to come to the event. We do particularly like to have sponsors because that's where we get the funds that are needed for these programs.
And what do people wear?
Oh, well, it's a summer event, or it's a kickoff to summer event. So it's kind of a dressy, you know, not ball gown type of attire, but more kind of like you're going on a yacht kind of attire. So it's fun. I think people really get into it. You know, it's kind of a nice evening out. It's a good date night.
And Ron, you always have a narrative that's put out for us all to see, to understand where all the funds go, you know, go towards. Can you explain to us a little bit more about that?
In particular, the funds from the Summer Soiree support our programs in Orange County. And those predominantly are serving families through our Family Resource Center networks through seven different sites that Children's Bureau is engaged in. And in those sites, we support parents by creating connectedness, by providing some concrete supports and direction to other partner organizations, parenting classes, child development education, etc. We also have a program called Dads Matter, which is a fatherhood program that we run, and this can also support our Dads Matter program, where dads and their children come and learn how to be a positive role model in their families. We all know that many fathers are disconnected from their families, particularly in low-income families, for multiple reasons, including economic ones where they're working all the time. And this provides fathers an opportunity to connect to each other and to strengthen each other by building community among themselves.
So how's that taught?
The teaching particularly comes from experts that work with understanding about how fathers can engage collectively, as well as providing supports to dads that are struggling in their families with their connections with their children. And like any kind of support group, it creates a mutual support structure for them to lean on each other in times of need, both as referrals to outside sources, but also as a listening ear that understands the problem that each of them are facing.
And isn't it clear that raising children today, very difficult?
Incredibly difficult. Don, thank you. That's such a great question. It's really funny that California has community risk factors that are just phenomenal that make it difficult for children and families that are vulnerable to abuse. That includes socioeconomic inequality, poverty, lack of adequate and affordable housing, high unemployment rates, although not quite as high in the general population, but certainly in many of our communities, homelessness, community violence, substance abuse, social isolation, you know, marginalization. And then on top of that, we have wildfires and natural disasters that impact us in the state of California. So what we need to understand is that families are complex and they need some support and structure in times of need, and that many of these families are vulnerable in many different ways.
And many families can go to these family resource centers, which are all over the place, correct?
Absolutely. They are all over the county, and they're a walk-in structure. You can just go to any one of the family resource centers. We are involved in 7 of them. There are 15 in Orange County, run by the county itself or funded by the county. And anyone can walk into those family resource centers and seek support, resources, and references about how to help fulfill some of their needs. In particular, we would ask that any family that is experiencing significant stress that needs to find ways to mitigate to go to a family resource center and to seek out help, and we will help you.
And you also have many connecting partners.
Absolutely. The Family Resource Centers are not just with Children's Bureau. We are the lead in many of the ones that we're involved in, but not all. And we partner with other organizations providing complementary concrete services to children and families, not just a one-siloed service delivery model. We can get access to multiple services across the county.
What are some of those services?
Domestic violence services, substance abuse services, food support. We have connections to people that can provide some housing, as well as the parenting education, the fatherhood education, et cetera. And then, in addition, it becomes a safe haven for community members to find space that they can be themselves and talk about their problems in an environment where people understand the challenges that they face.
Susan, what are some of the top challenges families face, especially when you see them?
Yeah, so by the time they come to the mental health program, a lot of these services that they've already received wasn't sufficient, so they needed more extensive services. So a lot of challenges we see with these families is a lot of family conflict. Again, parenting struggles. A lot of these children also have a genetic predisposition to a mental illness, so a lot of times we're having kids coming in with some pretty intensive, you know, behaviors where there can be, like, you know, getting in trouble at school, getting suspended, suffering from depression or anxiety. A lot of these types of behaviors and symptoms that are impacting their ability to be happy, healthy young children. And so what we really do is we try to work with them to help minimize and work through those symptoms and behaviors.
So what kind of staff do you have to help them?
So we have mental health clinicians. So most of our clinicians are licensed or registered through the state of California, either with a master's in marriage counseling or social work. We also have case managers. We have behavioral specialists. We have psychiatrists on staff. So really a broad range of staff to address the variety of things that come in, whether it's they need medication or they just need some behavioral support or more in-depth trauma counseling.
And what's the youngest you're dealing with?
We get referrals as young as months old, so infants, all the way up to 21 years old.
So you're able to find age-appropriate kind of help.
Yes. So for the little ones, it's really parent-centered therapy. So we really work with the parent and the child to provide that support. And a lot of it is really role modeling for the parent, how to support the child through the tantrum or through the behavior that's happening.
And Ron, when it comes to helping children, isn't it a challenge because they have all these other notions in their heads on how to be, and they're just being innocent children, but then they're behaving badly?
That's exactly right, Dawn. And it's really a challenge Childhood behavior is a challenge for any parent. As a parent myself, I totally understand and have experienced the frustrations that many in our community face as well. And recognizing that children live in an environment that is not just within the family, but within the community. And they're impacted by not only what they do and see, but also what they are experiencing out in the community, as well as what Susan said, some genetic dispositions that come through. So it isn't just all nature, it is nurture and it is community all combined to lead to the children today. And our goal, of course, is that children can thrive in strong families and communities, and that they can actually fulfill their potential. So our goal is to look at those struggles that they have, find ways to help them understand how they began and how they can overcome the challenges that they're facing on a day-to-day basis, whether it's behavioral issues or emotional issues. In the long run, The child maltreatment has a huge impact on the life of a child. And so the earlier we can connect with that child, as Susan mentioned as well, the better off the long-term outcome. It does have an impact on incarceration rates, school dropout rates, our third grade reading scores change as a result of child maltreatment.
In case you just joined us, you're listening to Collage, a public affairs show on jazz885.org. I'm Dawn Camber. Our guests are Children's Bureau President and CEO Ron Brown, Bureau Mental Health Director Susan Wood, and Bureau Summer Soiree Committee Member Cindy Carter. Well, Ron was just sharing with us a lot of the programs the Children's Bureau provides to people who need it, just to be a good parent, for children who have experienced child abuse. But in order to put on these programs, there's a fundraiser. The fundraiser is on June 8th. And Cindy Carter, share with us what's going to occur on June 8th.
We have a great evening event, dinner event. It's called our Summer Soiree on June 8th. And we have a great dinner and dancing, music, an auction that you can enjoy. We have a VIP reception, and the event goes from 6:30 to 10 p.m. at Oak Creek Golf Club. And you can purchase VIP tickets early to get access early to the event, where we have wine tasting and cheese tasting. And guests are all greeted with a signature cocktail, and they mingle while they bid on auction items. So it's just a great evening. It's a great date night, but it's also a great way to show your support for Children's Bureau and to help raise the funds that they need to help these at-risk families.
Ron, when people go to this event, they're all there for the same reason, and that is obviously to care for these children. And you explain to us what the sentiment is among this event.
Dawn, I can't tell you the joy that I feel when I go to the summer soiree. The sentiment is one of, it's the beginning of summer. As Cindy mentioned, it's light and it's fresh, and people feel committed to trying to help children in our communities. And so the joy of connecting and the spirit of the beginning of summer is really alive at the summer soiree in ways that I really can't describe. It is very much uplifting. And as the president and CEO of Children's Bureau, it's very uplifting to me in particular, because I know that people come to participate and to show their support for the work that we do, and to donate their time, their energy, their funds, all of their resources to support the work that we do in helping children and families in Los Angeles, and in particular at this event in Orange County.
And explain the lasting effects your organization has on parents and children.
Well, our goal is that children should thrive in strong families and communities. So our goal then is that to create lasting effects where children can overcome any components of maltreatment that they've experienced in their household, both by providing services to them as young children through mental health services or other connected services, as well as to strengthen their family's ability to mitigate the stressors that might have led to that child maltreatment in the first place. So it isn't just teaching parents how to behave well with their families and give them appropriate skills to alleviate the stress or frustration that they have as parents, as we all have had as parents, so that maltreatment doesn't occur, but also to pay attention to the children and their life trajectory that they have. So it isn't just a one kind of a component of just working with the parents, but it's working with the parents and the children to create a stronger future, which, by the way, creates a stronger future for all of us.
Susan, what are some of the mistakes parents make as parents and they don't even realize it?
I mean, yeah, there's lots of things that parents we can struggle with. But I mean, I think the main thing is not recognizing that your child is struggling. I mean, I think that's the biggest mistake a parent can make. If you see that your child is isolating or kind of keeping to themselves or not being their usual self, it's really, really important to seek help, because we all make mistakes as parents. We're all tired sometimes. We lose our temper. We may react inappropriately, but the important thing for parents is to recognize that, recognize they're human, say to the child, listen, I lost my temper, I made a mistake, but let's work on this together and let's see if we can get you some help. So I always encourage parents just to always, you know, we're human. We're always going to do things that we may not realize that we mean to do, because parents love their children. I mean, the bottom line is I think most parents, almost every parent really cares and wants their child to succeed. So our goal is really just to help them find ways to do that.
How is technology impacting the role of raising children?
Oh my goodness, yes. I have two adolescents, so I know very well about social media and all the impact it has on kids, from online bullying to peer influences, negative and positive. It really has a big impact on children. So the more we can educate parents about social media and how to really monitor it and really talk to their children, really keep an eye on what's going on for them, because even though they're older or younger, you still have to make sure that what they're experiencing and, you know, getting exposed to is appropriate and healthy for them.
And Ron, can you kind of go over some of the programs we didn't talk about already?
Sure. I'd love to. One of our key programs is our parent-child enrichment program, and that is almost, for your listeners, more like a mommy and me kind of program. We run it where families attend with their child twice a week, and we give them directed instruction on child development and parent education, and it's done in a group that's age-appropriate and, excuse me, an age collectively the same. So there'd be a group of infants or a group of one-year-olds or two-year-olds working together, and so they come and get an experience that's directed by professionals in the field on how to manage their children. They also do role plays in those and dealing with children that are tantruming and things like that to help build the skills of families. We've taken that program into the community by using parents that graduated from it with lovely skills and confidence, and they now are providing that program out in the community, in churches, in parks, in the library, etc. So we're able to scale up, if you will, by the volunteerism of parents that want to do more of what they received from Children's Bureau. That's just one of the programs that we're doing.
And Susan, we hear a lot about the first five. Explain how vital it is to get a lot of input into the child in the first 5 years.
Yeah, so the first 5 years are critical. I mean, I think this is where children learn all their healthy attachment. This is where they learn how to connect with others, where they learn to, you know, be able to verbalize what they're feeling. And so if we don't really, I mean, the first 3 years of life, especially when they're nonverbal, is also the most impacted years. And so the more we can do to help educate parents and help them, you know, communicate with their children, listen to their children, it's going to prove to be successful throughout their school career and throughout their childhood. So that's really our goal, is to really get them when the problems are small and we can really make a big impact.
Can you help us understand what a child could understand, you know, pretty much when they just came into this world?
Yeah, so children learn from their parents from day one, right? The minute they see that parent's face and the parents smiling at them, the parents connecting with them, they learn a lot from that. I mean, it's just amazing how much they learn in those first years of life. And so the more the parents can, you know, get their own mental health and own concerns in check to be able to be there for that child and supportive for that child, it's going to create a healthy relationship that they can then have healthy relationships with others as they get older.
So what do you recommend parents do during these first 5 years?
I mean, the key thing is really to really pay attention to your child, to be attached, to meet their needs. And again, if you're struggling with any mental health concerns or, you know, own socioeconomic struggles to seek help. I mean, that's really the best thing we can do for these parents is really give them the strategies to help these children, to help themselves so that down the road, they're not experiencing these issues. And that's why prevention of child abuse is really critical in these 5 years.
Ron, can you add?
Sure, I'd love to. You know, it's interesting that nearly 20 years ago, we started to really understand the brain development of children from birth. And what Susan's talking about is really around that and how their neurons in their brain are firing millions of times more than they are as older children and as adults. And so that development is growing. So when we're talking, when we're singing, when we're reading, when we're pointing out things, we think that they don't take it all in even as young infants, and they do. You know, poor children hear 1/10 of the number of words before they're three than children from wealthier families. 1/10 of the words that they take in. So doesn't matter what socioeconomic platform you live in, talk to your child, read to your child, read the paper to your child, sing while you're cooking. Do everything that you can to enhance your child's cognitive development by being vocal every moment that you can when you're with the child, because they do. We know this through science now. It's a fact. They do take this in, and it impacts their life trajectory.
And of course, again, there's this big fundraiser that's June 8th. So, Cindy, again, share with us how people can participate in this event so that you'll have these experts help parents, help children, so that these children can have healthy lives.
I think the best way to participate is to go out to the website and purchase a ticket and come to the event. If it's your first time, you'll see all the things we've been talking about here, how this event is going to help support Children's Bureau. So I think that's number one, is just to purchase tickets. If you have a company that you want to get involved, we also have sponsorships available at different levels. We can always talk to you about what would work best for you. But all the details are out on the website. Again, it's www.allall4kids.org/soiree. So go out there and get some more information, and you can purchase your tickets or give us a call to talk further about what will work best for you.
And Ron, at the event, you always have some people who've benefited from the program.
Absolutely. We try and demonstrate to the attendees that they get a chance to see and feel the impact of their sponsorships, their donations, their resources, and to try and connect them to what the long-term outcome and goal of Children's Bureau is, and that is to strengthen children and families. So it has helped us in the past to have children and or families or both come speak or through a video clip, just to have an understanding of how much this is needed in our communities.
But at the same time, it is a very joyous event. It is a serious event, but it's a very joyous event.
Absolutely. It's an incredibly joyous event. It really is a celebration. It's not one that we take lightly with a dour face. We take it with a smile on our face, knowing that all these people are coming to help and that they do it with warmth in their heart and our hands slightly in their pocket.
And of course, the reason why you do it is, like Cindy, you say that the mental health is critical, so you want to have these services available for people.
Right, yeah. So our goal this year for this event is to raise $175,000 net. And all of the proceeds go to help those at-risk families, and they go directly to those programs that Children's Bureau offers.
You've been listening to Collage, a public affairs show on jazz885.org. I'm Dawn Camber. Our guests have been Children's Bureau President and CEO Ron Brown, Bureau Mental Health Director Susan Wood, and Bureau Summer Soiree Committee Member Cindy Carter. Please join us next time.